What's up, D-Fam? Welcome back to the greatest Houston-based podcast in the world, the Weekly D Podcast. I'm your host, Danny G. And today we got a very special guest. He's had songs like Contempt, songs like What's My Name, the cover, The Circle of Life. He's had songs called Makeup. He is a Houston up-and-coming artist, the great and powerful Nick B.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on?
That was a pretty dope painting. I gotta admit, that was cool as shit.
Appreciate it.
Are you a painter on the side too?
Hell no, no side, left, up, right, down, none of that. That was just like a paint with a twist, and then I tried my best. There you go.
So what's up, Nick B? You're first time on the show.
Appreciate you.
I learned about you through Bowen, a mutual friend of ours, who was supposed to be on here but is running late. What a surprise. Goddamn Bowen. But no, man. I'm excited to have you on. I've been listening to all your music like this whole week, everything I could find. And I've actually been following you for I want to say like 2 years now. Like Bowen, you know, whispered you in my ear, and I was like, all right, let me see what he's up to. And I, as we've been figuring out what to do with the Weekly D podcast and how we wanted it to go, I started making a list of like people, and I was like, all right, man, I gotta have Nick B on here eventually. I gotta get to the point where I feel like we can offer you something, right? Because
I appreciate that.
Like I told you before the show, we're all about, you know, being for Houston, by Houston, and representing our creatives, and just everyone in Houston, man. You know, it's going down. That's what it's about. And our goal at the end of this is to create a huge family of just all sorts of creatives, businessmen, and run with it.
That's how it works.
With that being said, how are you doing, Navy?
Man, I'm doing well, man. I'm very, very blessed, man, to be right here, right now, and then for you to hit me up and actually have me on your platform. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man. I'm again a big fan. And I've been listening to your music, man, and I find it so interesting because you're such a different sound than anyone I've heard in a very long time.
Appreciate that.
And hearing your music, it's made me like really wonder how your mind puts that together. And how you come up with your rhyme schemes and like the music you make. So I really hope we can touch all that on this interview. Yeah. But first and foremost, you got the single Contempt, right?
Hey, yes, sir.
I love the Tiny Desk performance you did with it.
Appreciate that. I know if y'all hear the NPR.
I hope they do too, man. You absolutely killed it. And I don't know, like, so there's just something about you having the live band behind you that really just set that song off, man.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. How did that come up to be? Like, how did you write that song and come up with that idea? Because I mean, it seems very deep.
Oh, like, man.
Breaking it down, you know, it seems like a really deep song. So I guess my first question for you tonight is, what influenced the writing of that song?
I would say it would influence. I had a relationship where I was really I was good with it at first. I had a good relationship, me and my lady at the time, but going down the line in a relationship, it got really like salty. You know what I mean? It got really bad, and I got really, I wouldn't say disrespectful, but I got to a point where it's just like I wasn't happy with where I was at with our relationship. And then also too, I had the same deal with music where I was like, man, I don't really like I don't have a passion to really write anymore. I really don't like dealing with people in the music industry. I didn't really like any of that. So then, I don't know, for some reason, I was like, I felt content. But then I was like, man, what's a word that just like, that just says, man, I'm getting real disrespectful. I'd have disrespect for this or that. And then I just looked up the word contempt. And I was like, damn. Okay. Yeah, okay. And then next minute, I just made a song basically about how if you don't treat your woman and your music business right, it'll get you messed up. Like in the song, give me 1 second. Sorry. My cat is acting like damn fool. Wait a minute. Give me a second.
You know, make an appearance on Weekly D podcast too, man.
Come on. Oh my God. Anyways. This is that's tack.
He said, coach.
Lee, you good? Anyways, I'm trying to be serious around here. All right, so basically I made a whole song about basically how if you don't treat your woman and your music business right and you get contempt, which is having disrespect or disdain or ill intent for a person or entity, you're going to get messed up. Because in a song, I'm talking about like the lips of a pretty dangerous chick is the foundation of this rap shit. So I'm talking about both of them at the same time. The body is immaculate, you know, but a face and a mad curves will make you get in verbs. So it's just basically me conjoining both of the woman and the music business together to tell like a whole story and everything like that. So yeah, that's kind of how it came about.
Okay. That's really interesting, man. Just the way you phrased it. Like I heard it. Probably heard it like 3 times today, and I was just like, the first line just stood out to me, because I was trying to figure out the wordplay in that, and I'm glad you explained it because it makes more sense now. Because literally, I sat there today probably for about an hour. I was just trying to figure out what you were trying to say with that first line, but I mean, hearing the rest of the song, you kind of get the gist of it. But no, that's really dope, man. And it's true, right? You can't get content with anything in life because it'll go sour real quick.
Real quick.
Yeah, like as human beings, I feel like we're always supposed to evolve and keep growing and never be content, because if not, your life is just going to be sad.
gotta level up. Yeah, for sure. You got to level up. Like, man, it's just like, because if you sit in the same... Well, put it like this. If you sit in the same position, then you're just going to be seeing everything pass you by for sure. You know what I mean? So it's just like when I was, like I said, when I was writing that, that's what I was kind of feeling like, man, everything's passing me by and I should have a greater aspect, not aspect, but a greater like view, plan of what is going on and how could I make it better for myself and for, you know, saying people and my relationships around me. So, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's fucking dope, man. No, because like it's so true, man. It's funny you say that too, and I'm glad you're a guest today, because like that was one of the issues we had with this podcast for so long. Is like we would start it, we'd get a good flow, get consistent, everyone would be happy, but then we'd get content with where we were at. Right. So then I would get frustrated and be like, no, like we're letting good opportunities pass us by and we just got to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. But then you deal with burnout if you push too much. So you got to find that balance. But it's so true. You get stuck and it's so easy to get stuck. So easy. And then when you get there, it's just like life just passes you on. Every opportunity you could have created for yourself just went on by.
Come on, man. Come on now. Yeah, it's a balance. It's for sure a balance, because a lot of people think that it's just, you know, music and writing music is just, you know, write it up and then, you know, and then you're done, whatever like that. No, it's more so like feeling the music and writing it and then having a purpose for writing it all at the same time and everything. Like I said, that's the balance and stuff like that. Because a lot of times people write music and they just don't even really have a purpose. They just write it because it sounds cool, and then they say a couple of words in there that makes people feel a certain way, but it ain't it has weight to it, you know? Yeah. So I like to have weight to my music, you know what I mean? I don't want people eating cotton candy, you know what I mean? I want people to eat a hearty steak when they listen to my music. So that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very...
Hell yeah, man. And I mean, it really resonates with your music because all your songs, they seem very well thought out and put together. Like, they're not just, you know, mumble rap or words thrown together. It's not like you're throwing walls, words on the wall and seeing what sticks. You're actually putting a purpose to it and figuring it out, which is really interesting to me. But with that being said, like, Content is your latest single. Mm-hmm. You dropped that, 4 months ago? 5 months ago?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 months ago, yeah.
Yeah. Prior to that, what was your favorite song that you had out?
Ooh, I would say this song I have is called Makeup. Makeup? Yeah, okay. Because Makeup is really good. It's really, once again, like you said, really deep because Makeup is just a play of words about how we as people, we covered up a lot of things that goes on with us and what we go going on, our pain, our suffering, stuff like that. Like Makeup does conceal things and stuff like that. But when you take the makeup off, you're looking like everything that you are from what you've been through. You know what I mean? So with the song, I'm talking about how not to do that, you know, how to be able to reveal that type of stuff. So you won't have to feel like you need to stack on that makeup, all that powder and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's cool. I watched the video and it was really good too. Like the little video. That shit was dope. So like on Spotify, you only have 5-6 songs, I believe.
Yeah.
Before
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Did you have any other music before that, or is that what you've produced so far that you've actually released?
I have music out before that, but I don't like it. It's out there. It's out there. I'll say that much. It's out there. You know what I mean? So if you can, I'm Googleable. So you can just Google, because I have actually 3 mixtapes. The first one is called Unexpected Lyricists. The second one I have is called Unexpected Thoughts. And the third one I have is the 1 Day EP. And you could actually see, well, if you ever, anyone ever listen to it, I wouldn't. But anyways, you can see the progression, like, of my style and my music and then my flow and then my content. Like, it got like, better and better every time I made the project and stuff like that. So where I'm at right now, which I got more to go, but you could tell that I'm more precise with what I'm trying to say. I'm more like thought provoking in what I'm trying to put out there. And then also too, like you said, well thought out, like, with Makeup and all the other music videos, it's actually a whole storyline, like from start to, the latest music video, like I said, Makeup. So, after that, I'm going to have some more music videos. I got the song Contempt. I'm going to have that one. And then the latest single that I'm working on and everything like that is called Purge.
Okay.
So you can kind of figure out kind of what it's about and everything. It's just basically about purging all the evils and toxins out my body, out of body and stuff. To kind of like a butterfly. Cocoon. Okay. And then come out like a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah.
So that's basically what Purge is about. So that'll be the ending of like all the dark music, all the all the melancholy music, but with like a light at the end of the tunnel type of music and everything.
Okay.
After that, it's gonna be like more upbeat, more like sonically pleasing, I guess. Music and everything like that, because I tested it out at shows and stuff, which songs really pop, which songs really people upbeat really like. So the first part of it is called The Downward Spiral. So that's what the whole storyline of that is. So basically just a man just falling down and then getting deeper and deeper into a hole, and Purge is going to be like the last one in that storyline, that part where I come out of that a better man, a better person.
Damn, so, yeah. That's fucking dope. Yeah. So would you consider yourself more of a concept artist? Were you like making concept like albums or music? Because I'm assuming once you have the last one out, you're gonna drop a whole album, right? With all of them put together. Is that
hopefully? That is the plan for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because once I get done with the downward spiral, the next step is called the upward travels.
Okay.
So you can already tell where that's going. It's gonna be, like I said, more lighthearted. It's gonna be more fun. It's gonna be a lot more mosh pitting.
Gotcha.
If you want to.
So that's gonna be like your A side, B side kind of album. Do this.
There you go. You get it. So I'm trying to make a like I said, it's like when I write my songs. For some reason, I always think about how I would perform it, and also too, how as a listener with me, how I would perceive it, and then also too, three, what kind of like cinema is going to be in? You know what I mean? Because I love movies and I love music videos that tell a story and are connected. Like what you call it?
The Weeknd did that recently.
The Weeknd. Damn. Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
I remember Big Sean did that with one of his actually one ever concept album. I think it was like I Decided. Yeah. I think it was like I Decided. Yeah. So I love stuff like that because it just makes me like think deeper and also too like damn, what kind of dope beats can I put with this to bring it out more? A lot be going on up in there.
It seems like it, man. No, but that's cool though, because it shows your artistic, like you're a complete artist in the way you visualize your music. Because you're not just thinking, "I'm gonna drop the dopest song there is." Like you're thinking, "Okay, what's the visual gonna look like? You know, what's the performance gonna look like?" So, that's really cool because you don't see that a lot in a lot of artists unless they're like super huge, like. I know one of the best examples of that is Travis Scott. Right. Travis Scott always says that he makes his music for his shows, right? So he's always thinking of how this album's going to look when he performs it.
And it pans out for sure.
I mean, yes, it does. But with that being said, do you... Well, I guess you just answered that. You said you think about it when... you're gonna perform, but you perform a lot. Like I looked you up, man. You perform probably more than any other up and coming artist I've ever met.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Like you are grinding the fuck out your music. Do you do it to practice your stage presence, or is it more of a testing your material to see what hits?
You just said it. You just said it. And an artist is artist. I don't understand why we don't understand that also. I do not get that because it's for me personally because it's just like open mics. Mm-hmm. Open mics, man. People sleep on open mics a lot. Open mics, that is where you get your understanding of who your sound is to, your sound, and how you are going to put out your performance. How to get better at it. Something that didn't work last time, but didn't work this time. And then once you start getting that, and you actually getting the 30-minute and 20-minute sets, we're good. Like, we're like, oh, yeah, we got it. We solid. Okay, this one, I'm going to do like this. You know what I mean? Like, with Drake. Like, every time, like, he does, I don't know, Hotline Bling. Like he always does Hotline Bling, and then it goes to the people every single time. He does not change, and it works because people perceive that and love that. So it's definitely that. Like you hit it on the head, the nail on the head for sure.
Okay. Hell yeah, man! And I gotta give you props though because we interview a lot of artists and we talk to a lot of different people. And you can tell when there's artists that are really self-conscious about their art and they'll make hundreds and hundreds of songs and never fucking drop them, and they're dope as fuck. I don't want to call them out, but like my our boy Jamakai, who's been on the show before, dude is a fucking dope artist and producer. Okay. And I know he's making music all the fucking time, but he never releases. He drops like once a year, and everyone gives him shit for it because every time he drops, it's a fucking banger, dude. He's a great musician.
Oh yeah.
But he's so self-conscious about his art that, you know, he doesn't perform. And he's one of the guys that sits in the studio, make 100 songs, drop 2-3 of them. And I don't see that in you. Like, you seem more like, no, I made this dope shit. Let me go see if it works. Let me go try it out. Where does that positive energy come from?
Man, okay, so I'm going to get morbid real quick, and then I'm going to come back to the positive energy. Yeah, it's about to get real. So, yeah, like growing up in the hood and stuff like that, because I'm from Sunnyside. So a lot of crazy stuff has happened, like, around me, like, for sure. Like, I've had homeboys, like, got shot in front of me, you know what I mean? I had, like, people, like, took their lives and stuff like that. I just recently had a cousin, you know what I mean, take his life and stuff like that, and another friend and everything. So with all that being said, it's just in me, it feels like I need to make it known that, like, that man or that woman right there, or that little child or that person right there, there's somebody here. You know what I mean? There's somebody here for y'all. You know what I mean? There's someone here for us, because a lot of people think that just because, you know, like, you know, you don't have a big voice for something, or you don't have a understanding from a lot of people, that we need, you know what I'm saying, the grace of other people. Like, fuck that. You don't need the grace on the people. The main person that you need to be cool with and love is ourselves, first and foremost. Like, we gotta understand, you know what? That's cool. You don't like me. I ain't do nothing to you, and I'm making things happen. I remember at a turning point in my life was when I met somebody just recently, and I'm not gonna put his name out and everything like that, but I met him, and I'm telling you, the dude was positive. Like, he was like, man, yo, Nick, you dope, man. Man, we gotta work. You know, we gotta do some things, like, make things happen and everything like that. And I'm telling you, he hit me up, and I was like, he was like, yeah, man, I want to work with people that are really dope and really, really want to make a change and stuff like that. Really want to put out more kind of a positive into their music, and also to another side of hip hop, and bring a respect to hip hop and rap again and stuff like that. And I'm not kidding you. Like, not even 2 days later, man's took his life, and that hit me. And I'm sitting there like, you don't know when someone's gonna go, you don't know when someone's gonna leave and everything like that. So it's just best for us to take the best that we can out of every day and make something of it, you know. And so every time I'm every single day, I'm making the best of it, because we don't know when our last day is going to be, you know. I'm not trying to get morbid, but
yeah.
We don't know when our last day is going to be. So it's best to try to make something of it. You know what I mean? And bringing joy to others, it always brings joy to me also too. Because it's not just because I need that. It's just that I love to see that. You know what I mean? I had a best friend / brother to me. His name was Brian Walker. We actually went to college together. And I mean, first time we met, like that. Like, we liked the same stuff. We was listening to the same music. Like it was crazy. I was like, man, you like the brother from another mother, man. Like, what the hell you coming from, right? Yeah. So, been knowing him for years and stuff like that. And he had passed away, like 10 or 9 years ago. And it kind of hit me, because it was just like, I didn't spend enough time. I didn't try to go out there to Dallas like a lot of other people did, to go, you know, say, hang out, do this and stuff like that. But me and him was always tight. Anytime we talked, It was like we never skipped a beat and stuff like that. So with all that happening and everything and all that with, you know, my uncles, I only got one uncle now. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know what? I got to make the best of what I got and build on that. And the people around me that want to do that, I get on their ass. I get on their ass and make sure, yay, man. Like, look, you just because you ain't speaking to 1,000 people or doing somewhere millions of people are understanding everything, that's cool. You get one person, I'm telling you, you're going to change their life. Like, you're going to change their life. You're going to make people think, like, oh, man, like, yo, like, there is something more for me to do. And even if it isn't, like, I'm content, like, with where I'm at. And I'm going to keep building with the people around me and stuff like that. So, yeah, long story short, that's pretty much where all that comes from and everything like that. So it's like from a dark place, but it just balls up and then it turns into like a damn supernova.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting because it's really hard to take such a negative thing and flip it into positivity. But I really like the way you're doing that. And, you know, you're just getting to talk to you right now. I can see you're a pretty positive dude, and that seems like a lot of shit doesn't faze you. Which is dope, because as an artist, like, that's probably one of the hardest things. Because, like, you're talking about open mics and stuff too, and like I've dabbled in comedy, I've written sets and done a bunch of open mics comedy wise, and I always take it so hard when I bomb, dude. Like, I won't do shit for, like, a month after that if I bomb.
Boy, I tell you some stories, boy.
I mean, just hearing you say what you just said and then thinking of, like, you recently posted some videos on your Instagram about a competition you did. And those yeah. are fucking brutal, dude. I'm not gonna lie, some of them, like, they had some fighting words, bro. And for you to you know, have the courage to take in on the chin and then post about it, I mean, mad respect to you, dude.
Hey, I appreciate that, because I believe that as artists, a lot of us rappers, man, let me tell you something, man. We be trying to hide our downs.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that. But then also, too, I feel like this is my brand. My brand is me. My brand is me. And I want people to see the ups and downs. Like, not everything is going to be up. Like, I'll be getting dragged. I'll be getting dragged. Yo, man, someone told me that thing. I was wild. He said, I don't like your music personally. Your stuff ain't jamming. He said, I wouldn't bet my job. If they asked me to bet my job on your music, I wouldn't bet it. I was like, thank you.
Yeah, dude, I saw that and I was just like, holy fuck, man. I don't know how you were so calm and you were just like, thank you, man. Like, so I take pride in being pretty calm, right? Like, I work in a customer service field and I deal with a bunch of angry people all the time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But to have that shit said personally to you in front of everybody about your art, oof.
No. Hey, man. Hey, yo, it was crazy. And then I got told, like your stuff is mosh pit music. I was like, mosh pit music, okay. EDM. I was like, EDM. Okay, cool. Okay. Like,
that's hey, crazy, man. Did you perform songs like Content and your more melodic stuff?
I performed Contempt. I performed this other song called Drown. It's like an upbeat song. I was like, oh no, oh no. Hope you don't drown. Like, I performed that. And then I performed a song that actually really a lot of people loved and everything like that. It's called Who Cares, Takes Time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I performed that song. So yeah, because the crazy thing is, when you're talking about that, I wrote that song in specific because of things like that. Because a lot of people talk about, man, who cares? But then I'm like, you know what? it takes time. Like, it takes time for a lot of this. Like, a lot of people be thinking, like, oh, shoot, J. Cole first came out. He was hot. It was like, there was a lot more naysayers than more so people like, yo, he's on. Because I heard a lot of people talk about, oh, man, it's like watching paint dry. Listen to him. I'm like, damn. Yeah, Kendrick, too. They was like, yeah, listen to Kendrick. And he don't know. He like, yeah, sound like a schizophrenic. I was like, damn. Yeah. Like, yeah, so it
was the same way. If you think when Kanye came out, everyone was like, oh, he's just an art art school student. He's weird. No one was talking with him, but he made crazy beats.
Those. Like, collar shirts. What is that? Right? Why is your collar? You know? So it's just like, yeah. I ain't gonna lie, they tore me down. But yeah, it was but see, the thing is also too, like, I gambled, which is one thing I remember forever. I always gamble on ourselves. And at the end of the day, I always gamble on ourselves, because at the end of the day, if Richard and Thomas and Zachariah and Rachel and Cindy, all of them, you know what I mean, and Becca and Sasha Nika, you know what I'm saying, they don't believe in us, you know what I mean? Guess what? We believe in ourselves. Yep. And we're gonna gamble on ourselves every time. And so I knew, kinda, I was like, you know what? If it goes crazy, that's cool, because I'm gonna have a good ass time. Like, I don't know if you've seen the videos of me performing and stuff like that at that show, but
I didn't see those, but I've seen your performances before.
I get down, and I did that over there too. I got down. Like Contempt, I knew that it wasn't the right time, so I only performed half the song. I make a conscious decision. I'm not silly. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, let me do half the song. Hey, y'all, if you want to check it out, it's out. Drown, I got people to say the chorus with me. I got people to get it to it. You know, I got a couple people, you know what I mean, doing that. Who cares? Same thing. I had people say the chorus back to me. I had people give crowd participation. And the second part of the song, same thing. I had a great time. So when everyone was saying, like, basically, like, yeah, like, yeah, I wouldn't bet my job. People were looking at you crazy. People look at you crazy. People going bobbing their heads. Not this time. I'm like, okay. I got all of that. Said all of that. Yeah. And I said to myself, you know what? I like it.
Yeah. No, respect, dude. I like it. I got nothing but respect for you for standing there, dude, and just taking the belittlement from
you. Told me I was doing it with the part of my life.
Yep. You know what's crazy is, like, I saw all those clips, and like, so one of my favorite songs of all time is a song by Tech N9ne with Lamar and Mayday. That's called Fragile.
Ooh, Fragile, yeah.
And Kendrick has the coldest line where he's like, he goes off on him, but one of the like punchlines was, I'm sensitive about my shit. That's why I don't.
Yep.
You know, take it easy. Mm-hmm. And like, when I saw those clips of you going through that, like, all I could think about is, like, how many fucking artists have gone through the same thing and just quit there, right?
There you go.
Because, I mean, it's not easy to get shit on, keep driving.
Yep. Have it all over your face and you try to see.
Yeah. That shit was rough, man. It was rough. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, you know what's crazy? I actually done some, reviews where, like, they review your song and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I posted them up, too. I got dragged in those, too. Yeah, dragged.
I think it's because your music's so, like, unique, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something you hear every day, so
it's out.
Yeah, so it takes a little bit to, like, all right, whoa, like, let me rewind that, let me catch the line he just said.
Yeah, right?
And it makes people think, and a lot of people don't like to think sometimes when they listen to music. And I mean, that's unfortunately why hip hop got to mumble rap and all that, and it's trying to digress back to what hip hop is supposed to be.
Right, slowly but surely, yeah.
But I mean, that's why we had that whole generation, right? Is because people just, everyone was boom, 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 going too fast that we forgot to pump the brakes.
Microwave.
Yeah. No, but man, dude.
He also flamed up.
Kudos to you, because that shit was rough. Like, and for you to just sit there with your water bottle and drink it, like, all right, man, I'll just take it. It's crazy, man. I'm surprised you didn't fire back.
You know what? Because it's like, I remember also too, and it was actually on a review. What you call it? It was a review, and it was I got dragged in that. But the guy was like, "Man, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Stuff tough ain't for everybody. Just like opinions. They're just like assholes. Everybody has them, like opinions and stuff like that." And I was just like, you know what? That's true. Because what they said over there, I mean, you see, I perform in a lot of places. You know what I mean? Yeah. As you said, I perform in a lot of places. I perform in a lot of different venues. A lot of different people for real rock with me. They repost me. People rocking with me with the tiny desk and stuff like that. As you can see, I had a whole band. And none of those dudes was in the band together. I had to piece them together because they really rock with me. You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's why I said, like, turning like that dark matter, you know what I mean? And it turned into a supernova. Because it's just like, okay, cool. Let me focus on the people that fuck with me. Yeah. Like, I'm doing this because I'm trying to see about if my market of music is able to be heard. I'm worried about more so the people in the audience. And the people in the audience was jamming with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost, none of those people, and me included, would have nothing without the people. Yeah. Like, if people weren't listening, if people weren't buying, if people weren't, like, doing all that, none of us, we have any type of job or anything. So that's who I listen to first and foremost. And the people, a lot of people really like what I'm doing, you know what I mean? So that's another thing I do also too. So that's why I was just like, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate you.
No, it takes a lot, but I mean, it's good to hear that. And it's good to see that you don't give negative energy the time, right? Because as soon as you let that in a little bit, it fucking... I feel like negative energy is kind of like cancer, right? Once you catch it, it's really hard to get rid of it. Especially if you let it in, man.
Mm-hmm.
So to see you keep pushing forward and just be like, all right, kudos, man. I'll take what you said with the grain of salt. Just keep moving. That's a lot of respect to you, man.
Appreciate it.
Not easy. But with that being said, what would you say your sound is? Because it is so unique.
I would say the base of it, like the core of it, is conscious rap. Conscientious rap. It's the core of it. Because I grew up listening to well, of course, you know, I listened to, like, you know, 50 Cent, and then, you know, Eminem, and then Jordan Lucas, and then Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Mos Def, Twala Kweli, Common, one of my favorite rappers, Danny Brown, you know, he just did a cat named Atmosphere, Tech N9ne, Mos, you know, like all these different cats and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Royce the 5'9". So most of the stuff that I listened to was like in between like conscientious rap, but also to alternative rap. Like alternative hip hop, because conscious rap normally just use like boom bap, you know, traditional like hip hop like beats and stuff like that. Alternative rap like Tribe Called Quest and, you know what I mean, and other group named Little Brother, you know what I mean. There's other group named Slum Village, one of my favorite groups. J Dilla, you know what I mean, stuff like that. They use more than just traditional like hip hop beats. They use like jazz influence. They use maybe a little bit of rock influence. They might use some blues influence or something like that to create like a new sound, a new type of sound, but still hip hop at the core of it. Mm-hmm. You know, So I would say I'm probably like, as far as my content, I would say conscientious rap, but as far as my genre, like as far as me, I would say alternative hip hop, like not like, yeah, alternative hip, like I said, like I do have some special songs I haven't put out yet that I haven't really tried to put out yet. That's like an album, something like you need to listen to the album to hear it. But as far as alternative hip hop, just like I said, like I do like a contempt that uses I forgot who was a sample, but it was like an old like jazz musician. The song I have called "Who Cares? It Takes Time." It was dang, I forgot the name of the lady, but it was like a sample of like a blues person. Who else? I got one song called like I said, "Drown." That's a straight like just a beat. Like a straight beat with just different chops and stuff like that. So that's like more like a trap, like a trap song. You know what I mean? But I'm not talking trap music. You know what I mean? On there. You know what I mean? But it's still a beat. So it's when it's alternative, like I'm everywhere with the sound, but the core of it is always going to be the same. You know? So I'll say that much.
No, I like that. I like that. You know, the whole time I was waiting for you to say MF Doom, because
Oh, I love him, Doom.
he was fucking dope too when it comes to conscientious rap.
All caps.
Hell yeah, man. So
Madlib, yeah.
hell yeah, I mean, you named some name drop some dope ass artists. Like
That'd be
I
good.
have all of them on my playlist too. Hell yeah. Okay, so conscientious rap, a little bit of jazz influence, like that. Like that's kind of like Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly. He had a lot of jazz. One of my favorite albums. I'm a sucker for rappers that do things like that, right? That just
Ooh, me too.
don't traditional beat, let's mix it up. I mean, that's why
Yeah.
G-Funk was so popular back in the 90s, was because it was such a different sound. But huge fan of it. I love the evolution of hip hop and
Especially
how.
the Roots. I don't know if you heard
Yeah. Roots are too, man.
Man.
So let's keep it moving with conscientious rap. What was your favorite performance you've ever done? Since we're talking about all these bad lead ones.
Yeah. My favorite one was shout out to Fresh Oranges. It was called it's called the Hangout HTX. It's at El Pueblito, and it's every Tuesday. And it was a performance where I had like a first of all, I had like a throwback ass jacket. It looked like it came straight out the 90s. Like it's got like Canada, goddamn, I can't remember all the flags. It got Canada, Japan, China, like all of these different flags on it. And it was like a leather jacket with the kind of bubbly. So yeah, that thing. And that I'm telling you, like, 'cause I had took a time out to get myself together and everything because I had to make sure that, you know, this is what I want to do. This is go time. So I got to a point where I was like, you know what? People tell me, Nick, you gotta stop being so damn serious. Like you being so serious, like you're being super serious on your yeah, because like my music's already serious already. And me being serious on top of that, it drains a lot of people. You know what I mean? And then it makes people kind of like apprehensive, like, oh, I don't even want to talk to this guy after he a little too tight, you know what I mean? So from that point on, when people told me that and was like, yo, Nick, man, you a funny dude, man. We back? Okay.
No,
Okay.
I'm scared about that. Dude, my internet's never crashed since we've been doing this at this apartment.
Hey man, we talking too much. You see, that's how you know the devil is trying to stop something good.
He's
That, you know,
working.
I've heard this man, I'm gonna take this to heart. Someone was like, man, this was happening. And then he stopped and he said, man, Nick, the devil, he don't try to do nothing until you got something going on and you about to hit something.
Oh, yeah.
Always remember that. And I was like, oh, because when I'm chilling and not doing nothing, be cool. But when I'm actually starting,
yeah,
like he will, man. So like, cause I remember one of my coworkers, he was having issues and stuff, and he finally was able to get past what he was trying to get past, and it was even better past what he had to get past. And I was like, see, that's him right there trying to get in your way because something greater on the other side. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, I ain't trying to get all philosophical, but yeah.
I believe that, man. Honestly, I for the longest time, I kind of like, I was iffy about it, you know? But over as I've gotten older, you know, I've kind of like started going back to church and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just like, not even necessarily going back to church, just educating myself on like God and like the different religions and stuff like that.
Right, and, yeah.
It definitely does. There's definitely something there. Like, I'm a firm believer of that because, like, the more I go to church, the harder shit gets. But then I have this weird peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, even if shit gets so hard, like, I'll make it through. I'm good.
There you go. Yeah. Got to, man. Got to. That motherfucker will try to stop you from what's on the other side. Like, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Throw some damn boiling water on you.
It's supposed to be like a rap show we're trying to do, man. Trying to hold you down.
Oh, man. Trying to tell me about the... And the crazy thing is, it happened when I was trying to talk about the positive.
I know. So it's crazy, man.
Hey, man. It's the proof of the pudding, man. Hey, man. All right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Back to it.
All right.
Yeah. So, Fresh Oranges, like I said, shout out to them. It was, like I said, on Tuesday, it was last year. And like I said, I had the 90s jacket on and everything. And I performed two songs. The first song was, Contempt.
Okay.
That was the first one. And I don't know what happened with me, but I just snapped. And I was just like, this is how I should do it. And I talked to the people. Like, I got people, you know what I mean, up. I was, like, really just, like, interactive. I was just like, yo, you know, what's up? My name is, you know, I was just really. And there were some people I seen, like, sitting on the little tables and stuff on the side.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, hey, y'all people on the side, you're like, yay, come down, man. Come party with us real quick. You know what I mean? I got, like, two songs. It ain't even that long. You know what I mean? Like, let's have a good time all together. Like, all of us have a good time together. And it was just like, and then they all came down. I was like, oh, snap. And they all came down, and I'm like, I'm performing Contempt. I'm like, throw your hands up to the side like that and everything. And then I'm like performing. I'm looking at people. I'm doing all of that. And like, it was cool. And then I got to the Who Cares Takes Time song. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is the crowd gave me the idea for the Who Cares part. Because at first, the Who Cares part has a can't be a man without a presence. And then a can't be a change without a presence. But that was it. They did themselves when it was like, you can't be a man without a presence. Who cares? And I was like,
oh, shit.
And they did it on their own. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, oh, y'all, yeah. Y'all just unlocked a level I didn't even know. And it was the crowd that did that. And it was hype. And then when I got to the Takes Time part, like, I'm talking about. Like, actually, I need to post that up more.
Oh, yeah,
I need to post that up more. I need to post that one up more because that was a crazy night. Like, people was like, resonating, like people was really like vibing with what I had going on, and I was vibing with myself and what I want to push out. So everything was aligned, and like I said, that was when I was just like, this is it. Like, this is how I want to Like, just like the movie Bad Boy, this is how you shoot. From now on, this is how you shoot. Like, that's just basically how I want to perform, like, every time. Like, pivotal high energy. Like, I got a lot of words, so I can't really just be jumping around and all that and everything, because I don't want to be on the mic.
Out of breath, breathing heavy. I'd be sounding like Rick Ross.
Like, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, especially for people to pay to come see me. I can't. I got to give you a good show throughout the whole thing. So I understood, like, pivotal high energy moments. Okay, this part, do high energy. Okay, bring it back. Boom, boom, boom. High energy. You know what I mean? And then this song, keep it cool on this part, but then rev it up on this part and stuff like that. And I started to understand that, like, the performance level also with how I perform with my words and stuff like that. Because I already don't perform with my backing vocals. Like, I never did that. Because I want people to feel what I'm saying. Not just be like, yeah, it's cool. Like, I want people to, like feel that in their damn chest. Like they got on damn chest about to explode. Not literally. I hope not. I hope that never happens. But
no, but like, I get you, because that's one of the reasons why I go see live music, right? Mm-hmm. That's because I want to hear the artist sing and, like, you know, say the words, sing the words.
Right. Yeah,
like, I don't want to hear a backtrack for that. I could just sat in my car and listen to it.
That's karaoke.
Exactly. No, that's fucking dope though, because not a lot of artists do that either. Like they'll have the backup track because either, you know, they're not confident enough in their stage performance, or they try to do too much and they run into the problem that you said, where, you know, they're winded trying to rap and they're just, you know, it comes out as a sloppy performance.
Or they forget their words with the backing vocals. I've heard that. Yeah. Honestly, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. But I mean, that also comes with a lot of people that don't have experience performing, or they're, you know, at home rappers or in the studio rappers, but not ever perform. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, I'm sure you're so natural at it because you do it so much. It's like Jordan, you know, and Kobe used to say, you know, you got to practice.
Yep.
Be Allen Iverson and be a star forever.
Practice. What is practice? talk about the game. You talking
about this? That's why he was probably one of the greatest, you know, basketball players of all time that never got the recognition. Never put in the reps. Yeah, I put in those reps, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you got to put the reps in, because it's just like. It's just like I can't really understand how, like, I can have the songs that I have or to have a presence that I want to have and not be able to have people to feel that also. Mm-hmm. Because I want, because like I said, I don't just make music just for myself. I make people music. Mm-hmm. Like, I make music for people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you're not understanding and you're not feeling contempt, well, then I got a song like called Drown, where it's about, you know, you doing a lot of things for yourself that's going good, and you feel like a lot of people are going to just drown in your wave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got a wave coming through. You better watch the book out. I got another song called, Time Left to Die. It's not actually about that. It's actually about what a person would do or can do before they might leave this earth. But I flip it into saying, you know what? Not when you're about to leave this earth, while you here, what you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? I kind of actually flip it at the end. I'm giving you these songs I haven't really put out yet and everything. You're getting exclusive information right here.
I appreciate it. That's what, you know, do though, because, I mean, a lot of people always think about legacy, but don't think about the now. Right.
Man, I want something to stick to your ribs. Like, I want some greasy cheeseburger music. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I want some music where you eat that burger and then, like, all that soft fall out. You like, man, I mean, you eat that off your shirt.
Oh, man.
That mustard stain music. Like, dang, that, like, lick your damn thing.
Your next album, dude. The Mustard Stain.
They're never gonna take me seriously after that. They're gonna be like, comedian rapper, Lil Dicky.
Oh, come on, man. Lil Dicky, he's all right.
No, that man is impeccable. He's impeccable flow. Like, yeah. His flow is flow and cadence is like immaculate. I give him that much. That I've heard him flow, and I'm like, dang, like he has like different flows. So I give him that much. But when he gets serious, he can get serious. But yeah. Other than that, he said he ain't worried about that.
Yeah, no, it's all about having fun.
At least he knows. A lot of people be trying to perpetrate about what kind of music they got. So yeah. I give that much.
Well, that's for sure. So you were talking about your performance at Orange, and it made me think about like what was that feeling the first time you got on stage and people were rocking with you. Like, how did that feel? And does it still feel the same now?
I'd say that probably the first time I would say would be, there was a thing called 713 Day. And this was probably like a couple of years ago, something like that. And it was with the Generators Playground. It's like a big artist, entrepreneur group and stuff. And it was 713 day. Like, it was literally on 713. Like what'd you call it? July the 13th, whatever. So, yeah. I started performing. Shout out my DJ. I actually have a DJ. Mo Sama. What's good, boy? What's going down? Mm-hmm. We got up there, and we wasn't really expecting anything. We were just going to go up there, have a good time, perform. I had my little Rockets Olajuwon jersey.
Nice.
Extra schmedium, you know what I mean? All my shades on and everything. And I started performing. And people, even though it was a lot of people, were really digging it. They was really digging me. Like there was some dudes in the front. They was like, fucking Contempt, bro. Like, I was like, okay. Oh, yeah. I seen a couple of people in the back. They was like, they got their cameras out and everything. I was like, oh, snap. There was a couple of vendors, because there was vendors right in front of the stage and stuff. The vendors, they were like, yeah. And so it was really cool, because it felt like a real, to me, even though it wasn't a lot of people, it felt like a real like a concert going experience. Like it was a lot of fun. People was having a good time. People was really digging what I was saying. You can hear what I was saying. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, us rappers have a tendency to grip that microphone at that top and then sound like, you know, we talking through a tile. You know what I mean? But someone taught me better mic etiquette that day too, which was divine intervention. So then, you know, how you can hear me clearly. The music was hitting as it should. So it was great. Like, I'll say that was my first time like really getting like a real good experience of like, yo, like, you might have something, Nick. You might have something going on. You might.
You tell yourself that when you're on stage, or
you know what? Honestly, when I get on stage, I'm nervous. I'm telling you, my nerves are on 10. Like, they on like 15,000, uh-huh. You know? Yeah, like over 9,000. Like, yeah, that thing. Man, that thing up there. So when I go up there, though, it's like, I don't know. It's just like, man, it's just do or die. And I'm going to do both. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to leave it all on the floor. I'm going to leave it all on the floor, because nobody came up here just to see someone go, forget their words, and you know what I mean? Stuff like that, you know what I mean? I just got to make sure that, you know what I mean, I do it to the best of my ability and get on there and just have people have a good time while also dropping knowledge. Like at the same time and stuff like that. So that's my main thing that helps me push and perform and stuff like that. That's a good question, though.
No, that's so interesting. Oh, shit, my dog is going crazy. Give me 1 second, right? Give me one quick second. I need the mic.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey. I apologize about that.
It's like
today. I don't know what's going on with today, man. It's like the devil knew I was gonna have a good ass interview with someone new and trying to shut me down. No, but
hey, man, like I told you, you be trying to.
You know what it is, Nick? Is you're too positive, man. It's too much positivity today. That
man's just real daft, you know. Yeah. Like I'm trying to tell you, man, they be trying to block that wave, man.
Yeah.
Man. What did I say at that event? Thank you.
Right. Now, does performing now still feel the same as that day, or do you still have like some days where it was just like, oof, like that could have been better? Or,
you know what? I always feel like that. Like, yeah. Even when my best performances, I feel up to this date, like I always feel like that, because like, I'm not saying I'm a perfectionist, but I do want to, because, you know, eventually I would love to have people to share in like my art and in what I'm doing, you know what I mean? And actually start making some dividends or something like that, make some money from it and stuff like that. And it would be dope to have people, you know what I mean, to help me keep doing that. And in order to do that, like, I'm always trying to one up what I'm doing. Okay, what I got doing on. You know what I'm saying? This head ass dude right here. This is boy blowing.
Well, he was gonna be in hell late. Always late to everything, man.
What's up, brother?
How's it going?
What's going on, man?
I just got off work, bro. Dude, I had to, like, wind down for 30 minutes, man. I'm sorry.
All right. Did you say bro, dude?
Yeah, dude. I said that, bro. Bro, dude, man. I had to be professional all day. Now I got to be unprofessional and just say a bunch of adjectives to people.
Right. Yeah.
Bro, dude, bro, man. That one.
Bro, dude, man.
I'm sorry. I got some stuff to tell about Nick B later. I'm gonna do. Keep. I just want to pop in to see what's going on. But yeah, I'm gonna try to be as quiet as possible. I swear.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that works. So, yeah. Just so you know, Nick, Chris has been known to. So he runs the soundboard because we have like sound effects and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't fuck with it when I do interviews, just because I don't want to take away from the interview. But Chris likes to play with that soundboard, and he always breaks it mid-interviews. So. Just if you hear random Arnold Schwarzenegger's quotes, it's him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So modest.
It's what I do.
It definitely does. He fucks shit up and then he leaves.
You know, it's also great. I broke my webcam today too, so that's fantastic.
How'd you break your webcam?
I was about to ask, how is it even possible?
Bro, you don't ask drummers questions, bro. We break everything. Nick knows.
Yeah, I do.
The last time I saw Nick B, I was hella fucking drunk, and I almost busted my fucking my car window.
What? Car window? Why?
Bro, it was a great. So it was like my, I think it was my 25th birthday party.
25th, yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago, and like we're at our friend Gabe's house, right? And like.
Yeah.
Gabe has a big lot, so he has like a whole like I think what 2.5 acres of land. Mm-hmm. So like, I got fucking obliterated. Like I did not expect that to happen. Fucking like I went to Gabe's house.
He never does.
Yeah. I had my shoes, my socks, my shirt, and an umbrella, and my phone and my car keys. I left this house with my shorts on. That's it.
Yep.
And my yep.
Oh, dude, I thought you were gonna say you only left with the umbrella and it wasn't in your hands.
No, I lost the umbrella. So,
hey yo,
Nick and friends, our friends Raymond and Johnny, were walking me up because you know I was stumbling a little bit, and they were like, so what happened was I tried to jump this ditch that they have, and I completely ate shit. And so what happened was my keys fell out of my pocket whenever I ate shit, so they were in the sand. So my car wouldn't unlock, so I was freaking out. And we had fucking Jeremy's like, break your window. Yep. I'm like, I gotta break my window, bro. He's like, what? My keys have to be in my car. Like, Nick's just sitting there like, and like Johnny and Raymond, who've known me since fucking high, were like, yeah, that's going for you, bro. He's just doing Nick's one like, you let this man. Well, I'm like, it's his birthday. I'm like, okay. So we're trying to find things to break my window with, open the trunk up. Nick convinced me somehow. He's like, bro, I'm gonna take you home. We're gonna drive you home, and then tomorrow you're gonna be hungover as fuck. Mm-hmm. We'll deal with this tomorrow. So Nick, like, we don't break anything, and much to Jeremy's disappointment, and Jeremy's like, oh fuck. Like, I was like, yeah, I know, bro. I was this close. Oh, well, you can't see my hands. Well, I was like, I was about to do it, bro. Literally, yeah, that was that close. He texts me home, bro. Thank God. Him and Johnny and Raymond. Johnny and Raymond are both high as fuck in the back. I'm like, goddamn, Bowen, you fucking almost fucked up your car. I'm like, yeah, sounds about right. Because Gabe's house is also like my curse. Every time I go to Gabe's house, I either pop a tire or I do something that doesn't fuck up my car, but it's a hindrance to my car. So that was a blessing.
I did eat a lot.
I did too, bro. We had so much food. But yeah, the next day was horrible. I had my friend Alex drive me back up there, and I text Nick. I'm like, hey, bro. He's like, what? I found my keys. He's like, where? I'm like, you know where I ate shit in the sand? He's like, yeah, they were there. He's like, aren't you going to bust your window? I'm like, you're a lifesaver, bro. I have not gotten that plastered since then, bro. Like that, Nick saved he saved not only like my car, but also probably like me, you know, really fucking something up. But yeah, that was like the last time I saw you, man. Hey, it's been a while.
Damn,
here I am.
Well, technically you can't see me, but I see you.
Yeah,
I'm hiding.
Yeah, I see you, D. Yeah, yeah. I've been knowing all of these ruffians for a hot minute.
I think a ruffian's definitely the correct term to call me.
That's a nice term.
I think it's a good term, but yeah, dude, make me go back, man. We've only hung out a couple of times, and every time we hung up, bro, it's been a fucking blast.
That's awesome.
Were you there
man.
When we found a bat in my house? I forget. Or was it just Johnny and Raymond and we told you about it?
What?
We found a fucking bat in my house. Were you there?
Raymond told me. Yeah, I want to say
what's that shit was crazy, man. But yeah, dude, sorry about that. That's when I'll be quiet now. But yeah, that's like my big story with Nick B. That's when I knew me and him were like, we were buddies, but then that's when we became friends. He saved me like $10,000 on my car insurance by not letting me fuck my car up.
Right.
You had to call Allstate. I was right there.
You had good hands with you.
Thank you.
That's fucking hilarious, man.
But I'll be my good behavior. I'll interject here and there, but I'll be quiet.
All right. Bowen, man. Love that guy. He always does this. It always comes in at the most random time.
Yeah, I just seen like a little screen, and I'm like, man, who this is, man? Oh.
I was just surprised, but I was like, it was too late by the time I came in here.
I'm almost glad his webcam's broken, because the last couple times he turned it on, it was facing his nuts. It just made it really uncomfortable.
That was 2 years ago. Calm down. Stop spreading lies, Danny. That's slanderous, bro.
2 years.
We have recordings. Yeah, when we first started podcasting together, I play Magic the Gathering now. We play online, so like I would forget to like switch my camera from facing the table to facing me. And Danny was like, "Hey, look, Chris's balls." I'm like, oh, "Fuck, I forgot about that." You didn't actually see my nuts. It was just, you know, it was like
I'm scratching.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
You know, you guys ever seen Cat in the Hat? With Mike Myers? Yeah, I'm Alec Baldwin. You know, whenever he, like, you know, he, like, goes home alone and, like, you know, takes off the skinny thing. Like, you know, and he really sees a beer belly. That's me. It's really disgusting. I don't know if that makes sense, but we'll put a picture on it, maybe.
We'll pretend it makes sense. I didn't know Baldwin was still a guy we can reference.
Well, are we not supposed? Is he canceled? I thought he was okay now. I thought the lawyers did the thing. I don't know, man. But this is not about us, bro. It's about Nick B.
Let's go back to positive Nick, man. Chris, have you seen the belittlement that Nick B has gone through?
Wait, for what? What's going on, man?
No, he hasn't seen it. He hasn't seen it.
I've seen the mime video and a couple of the stuff like that. I haven't seen the belittlement.
Oh, Oh no, he definitely hasn't seen it.
You're missing more shit. Yeah, you wouldn't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, he'll know. Yeah, it wouldn't be no question. It'll be no question. Hey, yeah, because it was rough. And like I said before, I have other stuff actually posted, like of reviews and then what they said and stuff like that. I had one review where the dude was just like, everybody was like, yo, that's your shit trash, bro. Your shit trash. You know what? You need to go back to what they said. What's that vocab school? Yeah, you need to go back to vocab school. Going ahead and get back in that and learn how to write. I'm like, okay, what's up,
bro? That shit's wild, man. I went through all that. That's crazy.
It'd be rough. It'd be rough, man.
It'd be all rough, dude, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you can, it does make you have thicker skin, for sure. Because, like you said, other people I told, they were like, man, I would have been throwing at it.
Bro, I'm not lying, dude. Like, that shit was rough. And again, like I said, I got a lot of respect for you for just standing there, taking it, and taking it with the soul and just moving on with your career.
Yeah.
With that being said, what shows you got coming up?
Actually, I have. Oh, let me see. So currently, right now, I'm a part of a platform called So Far Sounds. Yeah, I'm actually part of them now. So I have intermittent like shows with them and everything like that. So the next one, like show I have. I have to look it up, but I know it's going to be in April. I think it's going to be in April. I got to figure out the date of that one there, but we'll have the So Far show. Currently, right now, upcoming on March the 9th, I have a show with Straight From The Vibes. It's ran by Kimora Simone, and it's a dope platform. It always has dope artists and a dope like atmosphere. Like the opening ceremony is like goddamn people called Phantom of the Chakra. So you kind of already know what's going to happen when you come in. They got like the sound bowl. They got the drum and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Like it's crazy. So they give a good vibe to get you into the show and stuff like that. So
that's cool as shit.
Yeah, right. Goddamn banana pudding. Come on now.
Who can say no to banana pudding?
I can't. I never do. I'm always. Come on, man.
Banana pudding is one of the best things in the world, bro. If you can say no to banana pudding, you're not human, bro. Lizard people say no to banana pudding.
March 9th. March 9th didn't come through, man. We're going to have banana pudding, man.
Where it at?
It's going to be at Houston Vintage Truck Club. I'll send y'all the link and everything like that.
That way we can post it too and share it.
Yeah, no doubt. March 9th, it's going to start at 8. The show normally starts at 8:30 or something like that. The show is not going to be too long, so we're not going to take too much people's time, but it's going to be long enough for people to get into it. So it's going to end at 11. It's cool because it's always got live lights. The place is super dope. It's ran by this guy named Mason, because he's an artist also too. Like he plays synth, he plays piano, he also plays a little bit of the drums. Actually, he plays the drums. Like that's the main instrument. But that place is ran by him. So March the 9th. The next one I have after that is going to be on March the 28th. March the 28th, and it's going to be at the Fry Guys. So that's I forgot what side of town. I think it's on the west side, southwest, something like that. So. Yeah, so the Fry Guys over there. It's going to be with Flotus G. She's an artist also too. She's really dope. She invited me over there to come do my thing over there. Also, before that, I got some things going on, man.
You book so many shows. How do you stay so busy? Are you self-managed?
Self-managed. Yes, self-managed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just try to make sure to stay in touch with like I said before, when at the beginning of our conversation, people that really rock with me. So I try to stay around people that rock with me, because I can't do that no more, where I gotta mess with people that I gotta chase down. Like, I only get one time to chase somebody down, and if I chase somebody down and then they still just like that, nah. You like that, Chris?
Gives you the stink face.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Good. 'Cause if somebody really wants you, they're not, you're not gonna have to chase them down too much, like at all. You know? Just like with y'all, like it was cool. Like boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? Let's do some work. Let's collab. Let's make it happen. I'm all about that. The
Speaking of
15th.
that. Oh, sorry. It was like, speaking of, what we haven't done before, like, we never hooked up and done some stuff before, you know what I'm saying? We never collabed. We talked about it, but as usual, I'm all talking to Mark, apparently.
Oh my goodness. We gonna set something up in the future, Chris,
We
man.
got
Because
to,
you
got
know
to.
you can hear. I be having a lot of stuff going on, brother. So we're gonna do something in the future for sure.
You
I
for
got
sure,
put an
man.
IOU on me.
I think yeah, I do need IOU and I got you, I got you, yeah.
I think Chris owes you an IOU, man. Just because every time we have art, dope ass artists on this podcast, he always tells them, "Oh, we should collab and do some drumming stuff." Then I ask Chris, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I never followed up on
Well,
it."
I got their numbers, man. I reach out and like we're like, yeah, hi, and like, okay. But yeah, I think I did tell Nick I would actually help him out with the drums, like a drum track, like back in the day, probably on my birthday, whenever I almost, you know, destroyed my car. It's probably
Yeah, pretty much.
it's like Chris Drum, like, I got you, buddy. Don't worry about it. But yeah, man,
Oh my God.
you were saying the 15th. Sorry about that.
The 15th, yeah, I have an interview going on. It's gonna be an amazing 102. It's over here, actually downtown. It's the thing is called QTNA. So yeah, they're gonna be asking me like some deep-rooted questions and stuff like that. They're gonna have me scratching my head like, man, what the fuck? So yeah, I'm gonna be on there. Actually, also too, on April the 2nd, I told you, man. And it's crazy too. People are like, man, where do you keep all this information? Like, I don't know. April the 2nd, I actually do have a show with Fresh Oranges again. It's gonna be at the Hangout. And it's gonna be at El Plebito. It's gonna be over there again, April the 2nd, and it's gonna start at 8 that day. So that'll be dope. So yeah, I got some stuff coming up. So yeah, it's gonna be really cool. And like I said before, I have my own DJ now. Like me and my DJ, like we've been rocking with each other for a long time now. The one that was on the Tiny Desk. The Tiny Desk.
How'd
Speaking of
you
that,
meet?
Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that? Did you see my Tiny Desk, Chris?
I'm pretty sure I saw the Tiny Desk. Hold on, dude. That's.
No. Yes or no, sir. Did you see my Tiny Desk, sir?
Bro, you be posting so much on fucking Instagram, bro.
I ain't trying to hear that. You see my Tiny Desk?
Nick, can I tell you something? Can I tell you
Please.
something? Nick,
Yes.
let me tell you something, Nick. All right. So when I book our guest, right, we have a Google Calendar that goes to Chris, the other guy who's like more of a background guy. He doesn't do too much on interviews. He's more just make sure that everything sounds good. Me and then our guest. Okay. I always link everybody. I put who's our guest that day, you know, what time. Usually I try to leave a time window between 8 and 9 and then 9 and 10, just in case, you know, some people get pushed back or whatnot. And it's been on our calendar since me and you talked. The day that I told you, I'm gonna send you the calendar link. It's been on our calendar since that day. I text Chris this morning. I'm like, hey, bro, remember I told you that I needed your help on doing some research on Nick B, just to make sure I have good, solid questions. Chris texts me at lunchtime, hey,
I
I
forgot.
got a new job and I completely forgot. I didn't even know we had Nick B today.
And also, in my defense, also, you keep sending it to Accidental Chaos. That's not my main email.
That's the email you told me to send it to.
No, I
So
told you to send
got
it to the
put you.
C. That's not true. I told you to send it to CPP Drum at Outlook email like 5 times. It's
CPP?
recording on something, yeah.
CPB.
Oh, CPB. Okay,
CPP
okay.
Drum.
All right, Chris.
CPP Drum.
Also,
Okay, I like that.
something
I called you. But yeah, I figured that was happening. I was like, I'm gonna get thrown in a bus again, aren't I? Okay. First for Sean complaint, and then second for like, oh, yeah, dude, new job. I've got caught up with shit, bro. You know what's the most fucked up part is, dude? Like, I reminded myself on Saturday to spend the day on Sunday doing research. What I do instead? Nothing. Like, I was like, it was my dad's birthday on Saturday, and I was like, it was on my lunch hour on Saturday, like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, remember, Nick D research, because you're gonna be on here. I didn't fucking. We had the whole party happen. Sunday happened. I was like, okay, Monday happened. Like, I was supposed to do something yesterday, wasn't I? Like, ah, shit, I don't fucking remember now. Fucking
oh, buddy.
No, yeah. Chris, that's a good excuse. You drank before then and now, so I'll give you a pass on that one.
Wink, wink. No, but yeah. No, yeah, I tried. Hey, bro, you drop, bro. I got off at 9, okay?
That's all good. You know we got to bust your balls, Chris.
Victor were like, bro, like fucking the one-inch punch. I'm like, what? I just see him doing a fucking little finger, like, what? Do the Bruce Lee thing.
Oh, man, but honestly, I appreciate you coming on to the show today. This has been a great conversation.
Appreciate
I would love to run it back again at some time whenever you're available, just to catch up and see where you're at.
It's going.
Oh, hell yeah. And one thing I always like to tell our guests is, you know, we here at the Weekly D, we're trying to build a network and a family. So whenever you're on this, you're officially part of our family. So whenever you need help, you know, promoting stuff, if you need, you know, people to share links for you and whatnot, just hit us up. You know, send us those links, tag us on your post, and we'll make sure we share it around too. That way our followers and our listeners can know where to find you and when to go check out your shows. There you go. You're doing some of that Jabberwocky Vogue shit. but yeah, man, I really appreciate you coming on. I want to give you this time to go ahead and let the people know where to find you.
Did you hear Chris head ass talking about? I appreciate that too. Like,
I'm just saying, man. I've actually been requested to come on here for like the last year and a half. I'm pretty sure, right? It's been a while, Danny.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, bro, my friend Nick D.
He's trying to make something good right now.
Yeah, he is. I need some props for the man.
I told Nick that you've been whispering his name in my ear for a good time.
Dude, I'm like you know, Alan, whenever he's doing his sleep players, I'm like, yo, so Adara. That's like me and Danny's ears. Like, dude, Nick D, come on. Like, come on.
That was a terrible comparison.
I can't do the high voice. Yeah, I can do the high on this, bro.
Bad.
Bro, I have a good Arnold impersonation, though. I can do that pretty producer, good.
Alan, that boy can sound exactly like Dora the Explorer.
It's crazy.
Like, it is scary. Like, and he'll do it. We'll be podcasting and just like out the nowhere, he'll just say it. And that freaks all of us out because we're all like, who was that? But it's him. Just sitting in his chair.
He's just sitting in his chair applauding like an evil villain. And he goes, yo soy Dora. It's out of nowhere.
It's wild.
Oh my God. Hey, so, that's been you, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. So, okay. All right. So, so what I have going on, you can check out everything Nick B at 713nickb.com. Yep. I have my own website. So you can check everything out right there. I'm actually Googleable too. So you can do your Googles. So you can actually, you can go to 713nickb and go to put in the Google. Bloop, like everything Nick B is going to come down. It's gonna list.
Yeah.
On the.
Yeah. So it's gonna come where? It's gonna come where? Sorry, I'm here for chaos right now.
This is why we don't let Chris do interviews.
This is why I stopped. That's why I stopped. That's why the list.
I wasn't gonna. If you were to just kept going, I would have let it go. But he had to stop. I'm like, okay. I can't let this go. He stopped. I have to say something about it now.
That was a really, really wild pairing of words. I ain't gonna lie. That was crazy. But yeah. So yeah, everything will be on that list, on the Google list, whatever, like that. I do have an album I'm working on right now, currently, which is working really good. Especially with like the songs that people really like it, and also too. Newfound joy of what it is to make music. The album is called Dark, so you kind of understand like what understand what's going down with the album. But it is not just basically about just, you know, just like dark themes and stuff like that. It's basically about having a light at the end of the tunnel. So every song, it'll start kind of like morbid or something like that, but it would switch up into more of a, hey, but look, there's this, you know what I mean? Don't stay where you at. And also too, I'm gonna give you the exclusive information too. I'm actually working on two albums. So it's that one. And then my second album is called Songs for Her. So it's not exactly what you probably would think. One of my favorite R&B artists is Her. And her acronym is called Having Everything Revealed, right? So the album is called Songs for Having Everything Revealed. Ooh. So, yeah, so it is basically a man and a woman, single, doing what they do. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. Getting a relationship, start courting and stuff like that. Start talking to each other. And then they actually start getting a serious relationship. And then all the woes and the trials and tribulations that go along with that. And then also to the ending of what's going to happen with their relationship, stuff like that. So basically, it's my story of what I've been through in relationships. What I'm accustomed to, what I'm not accustomed to, things like that. But it's not going to be like what you think it is. Like, it's not going to be no, oh, yeah, love you. Like, you ain't going to be too much of that. Like, it's going to be too much of that. There's going to be some low, yo, I hate you. I hate your guts. I hate your ass. Like, it's going to be some stuff in there. There's going to be some, you know what? It was me. I need to get myself right. And there's going to be some, you should have known better. Because this right here was not right where it went down and stuff like that. So it's going to be some tough hell stuff on there.
Hell yeah. That's going to be dope. I'm excited knowing how you create things. I'm excited for the visuals too. Like that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, when I get them out. Well, shoot. Quick. Contempt. So I'm going to tell you real quick about that. So I'm giving you exclusives right now. I'm giving you a lot of exclusive information. So, Contempt. Remember I told you it's about relationship with your woman and relationship with your music business, right? So, for the music video, the concept I have is a split screen. So, on one side, I'm trying to deal with my woman and relationship with her, and it ain't going right. And on the other side, I'm over here trying to deal with a relationship with my music and trying to talk with producers or anybody that, you know, I'm trying to do work with. And then basically it'll come together at the end. And I'll be one split of me dealing with my woman and one split of me dealing with the music. And it'll come together like that at the end. And it'll be conjoining where I'll say, you know what? Both of these are just the same, and I need to do better. And then there'll be like a freaking like a bright light, like a freaking like I'm about to go to another level, because I'm trying to say you need to get to another level and you need to not be contempt. So yeah, so
bro, that's fucking dope. Hell yeah.
Yep.
Nick B exclusive.
Hey, Nick exclusive. Yeah.
Nick exclusives. Yeah. I think Nick forgot I was here. I was so quiet for that whole thing.
That's fucking awesome, man. We're excited to see what you come out with.
Damn, Chris, man.
Sorry. Damn, man. I like the Nick exclusive. That you should trademark that, dude. That's cool.
I'm not.
Okay. We're trademarking. Hey, we're trademarking that. Okay. Nick exclusives. We can trademark.
Go ahead,
dude. Okay, cool. We got it. Trademark.
Make t-shirts, Chris.
We'll give you royalties too. Okay, we got it from you. You said we can have it. We got it.
Go crazy.
I'm already crazy. You want me to go crazy? Yeah, go man, crazy.
Don't tell him that. We'll never end this interview. Well, man, but we're appreciating you coming on the podcast. It's been a great time. It's been a great conversation. Oh, shit, it's a cat. He made his appearance, too, on the Weekly D podcast. Another Nick exclusive.
You should save your. You should name your cat an exclusive.
Get out of here. Never mind.
Well, yeah, man, we appreciate you coming on. This has been a great podcast, a great conversation.
I'm sorry, once again.
I'm excited to see what comes out of your music, your next projects. We'll definitely be on the lookout. Again, you're part of the Weekly D family now, so you know, hit us up. Let us know when you need help promoting stuff. We'll be more than happy to share all your links, all your shows.
How do you do?
You got going on. Again, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Nick B, for being on the show. My name is Danny G. This is the Weekly D. Remember, if you can't get it daily, get it weekly. Peace.
How do you do, ho?
Okay, no problem.